Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for joining us. Today's Issues, the name of the program. We appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. Hey, I was rushing this announcement, but maybe you heard it, but Stephen McDowell, who's the president of the Providence Foundation, he was on with us last half hour talking about Christopher Columbus and slavery and other things that we're talking about today because of what's happening in our country. He and I will be leading a tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and a separate tour of Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call these tours spiritual heritage tours. We've been doing this for 20 years. Many, many of you listening have been with us. Well, our June trip had to be canceled because of the virus. And but we do have our September tour still. And we'd love for you to join us if you'd like to. The Jamestown-Williamsburg part is sold out. You can put your name on the waiting list if you want to, but that's sold out. But our D.C. Mount Vernon tour is still open. We have a few more seats left, so if you want to go with us, go to spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. What are your reflections on what Stephen shared with us? You were talking off the air that this is really a war. What's going on in our country? What give us?
I think, and this can come across as overly simplistic, I know that, but I think at its core, what we see going on in America, and especially as related to Western civilization, is a war against God. I think this country is splitting.
The Christian God.
The Christian God, right. Yeah. I think this country is splitting into those who either do believe in God and Jesus Christ, or they believe in the civilization that was created in part by the Judeo-Christian worldview, and those who are secular humanists. And so I think, you know, we were talking about during the break, you know, you can't have just a normal, calm conversation with the people who want to pull down Christopher Columbus statues. And so why is that? Well, that is because there is an antagonism that is visceral on the part of these people. They hate Christopher Columbus because of what Stephen McDowell was just saying, that he came to this country with a goal to convert unbelieving pagans to Christianity. These secular humanists hate that. They hate that about Christopher Columbus. They hate that about the explorers, those of them who know any Christian, you know, any history. They hate that about them. They believe that is ideological imperialism, religious imperialism. And so at heart, this is a war over the subject of God. Is he real? Does he exist? Is he the God of the Bible? Do we have to obey him? Will we be judged by him? Does he judge individuals as well as nations? All those issues are on the table, and the country is increasingly splitting over those issues.
You know, I asked Stephen McDowell about how did this happen, and I kind of knew the answer before I asked the question. Right. But he referred immediately to our education system. And let's be honest, we've kind of allowed this to happen. We've always known, particularly the university system, has turned against America years ago.
Right.
But, you know, whether it's Republican or Democrats who are in control, they may have complained about the liberalism on our university campuses, but they continue to write checks. And so we have allowed our university system in particular become propaganda schools for what we're seeing today.
Right.
And because these university systems turn out our lawyers, turn out our educators, turn out our journalists.
Turn out our pastors.
Turn out our pastors. We knew this was happening, but we let it go. And we let it go. And we let it go. Instead of Christians standing up and saying, I'm going to run for school board because there's a group down there that wants to start changing the textbooks.
Right.
And we allowed that to happen.
Well, this morning, I was talking to somebody who was telling me about a young man who raised in a Christian home, a conservative Christian home, went off to a secular mm-hmm. university, and this story can be told 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times, and within a year or two was turning on his parents,
mm-hmm.
because he had was moving to that secular progressive mindset,
mm-hmm.
because he was getting that every day from his professors in almost every class,
mm-hmm.
And then it that combine that with what you're being your fellow students are,
right?
You know, they're into this.
And then the media, you
yeah. You know what's interesting about this? There's a lot of things, but back in the '60s and '70s, the liberalism became very popular and started gaining ground in the culture. Not necessarily in politics yet, but in the culture. Well, liberalism is no longer lauded. That's not a proper word any longer. Yesterday's liberals are shunned by today's secular progressives, secular humanists, Marxists, if you will. And so that's because you wonder, why is it such groupthink on college campuses across America, for example, in newsrooms across America? In the entertainment industry, why is it complete groupthink? And if you step out of that, then you get shamed, you get canceled, you get shut out, your life can be ruined. So liberalism used to teach freedom of thought, expression, exchange of ideas, let's debate something. Today, no, there's no debate. Thus says the secular progressives, and if you disagree with them, then you're inviting misery.
Yeah, I think the explanation for that is that in the 60s, what you're talking about in terms of, let me just take a step back and remind people what we're talking, when we say cultural social liberalism, we're talking about the sexual revolution primarily. And when I talk about war against God, this is what they're saying. Right out of Psalm 2, okay? Let's tear off his fetters from us. We are going to do what we want to do. We're going to have sex with whomever we want. That started with heterosexuals and then went, of course, to homosexuals, and who knows where that's going to wind up. When you talk about transgenders, you have the kind of the modern groupthink is whatever they want to say about their lives is the truth for them. All of this is against absolute truth. It's against the way God made us. We don't care about biology anymore. We're talking about identity. All that stuff started, really it started before the 60s, but it exploded publicly with the sexual revolution in the 60s. But the reason the left, Tim, wanted freedom of speech was because they were on the outside looking in. So the sexual revolution was a revolution, but it didn't control everything yet. We want the right to say whatever we have to say. Everybody does. But today, they're on the inside looking out.
Mm-hmm.
They're in control of all the major centers of power. They control Madison Avenue. They control Hollywood. They control the universities, et cetera, et cetera. Now that we're on the inside, we don't want freedom of speech because that gives you the right to challenge us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're calling the shots. We're shutting free speech down. That's the way I look at it.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the Baronel Stutzman case, the Kleins, you look at all of that. Just to your point, now that the far left has control of the media, control of the courts, you Christian, you're not going to supply flowers for a homosexual wedding? We're not going to let you to have that opinion. We're not going to let you operate according to Christian principles. We're going to punish you.
Right.
We're going to shut you down. We're going to take your house. We're going to take your bank accounts. There's absolutely zero tolerance on these far leftists.
And with the Supreme Court's ruling that we talked about earlier today, that is only going to get worse.
Yeah.
And for all those people who said, Christians should just mind their own business, forget about politics, let me tell you something. They're coming after homeschooling. They're coming after Christian schools. You people who sat on the sidelines and said, it doesn't really matter, let's just preach the gospel, good luck doing that.
Yeah.
Have fun trying to carve out freedom for your church and your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You should have been involved earlier because you have complicated the preaching of the gospel. and everything else that goes along with it. Mm. Anyway, you can tell I'm in a bad mood. I'm in a sour mood today.
But you know what? The battle is still here, and we're called upon as Christians to continue
Amen.
The battle.
Come on.
Let's go back to the days of Paul and Peter. The Romans were in control. They weren't nice people. They hated Christians.
Right.
But the battle continued because we have an asset that the other side doesn't, and that's a sovereign God.
Right.
We have God on our side, and he can change things. He's done it before in countries and cultures, and he can still do it. But maybe this is a wake-up call, too. Maybe this is a wake-up call. I just want to go back, and you know, this may be an example. President Trump holding this rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma this Saturday. They've had a million requests for tickets.
A million?
A million. The venue only holds 19,000 people. They've had, as of this morning, they've had a million requests for tickets to go to that event. I still think there is this...
Something under the surface.
This voice that will not be allowed to go on the CNNs of this world or even Fox News many times. There is this voice that will be heard at these kinds of rallies. You watch for this.
That is good. That's good news. And that, you know, for a million requests for tickets, I don't think that's just because everyone's been shut up in their houses either.
No.
Because in 2016, we saw that, in 2015, we saw that same kind of enthusiasm. I want to see that kind of enthusiasm in the church as well.
Amen.
I want to see Christians getting registered. Folks, if you're not registered to vote, shame on you. I'm just going to say it. Shame on you, because these God haters will take your country, and it's not just you. It's your children's country and your grandchildren's country, and you can't even be bothered to register to vote. Shame on you. All right, that's all I'm going to say.
No, it's not. You got more. We got 13 more minutes. Why do they hate President Trump so much? These people.
I'm going to go back to the war on God thing. I think they hate the fact that he is pro-life, mm-hmm. that he upholds the sanctity of human life, and I'm not even sure he's got a religious reason for it. My understanding is it just dawned on him when it was a friend who was going to abort, and then he looked at this growing young man and said, "Wow, that life could have been snuffed out." He is pro-life, and maybe even more than sexual freedom, the issue of the sanctity of human life so grates on the God haters that they can't stand the fact that President Trump said, "I'm going to appoint pro-life judges," and I'm questioning Gorsuch now with this latest ruling, but they hate that about him. Mm-hmm. I think that is at the center. There may be a couple of other things, but then you look at the fact that he had U.S. Embassy moved it to Jerusalem when no other president would do. I mean, this guy right down the line has kept his promises. Remember about President Trump, and almost every one of these has religious significance.
Yeah, he interfered with the plan. What we're seeing happening today is what Barack Obama meant when he says we're going to change the country and change
fundamentally.
The world. Fundamentally, change the country, change the world. Barack Obama said that 2007, 2008. Remember that. Mm-hmm. Then along comes Donald Trump. He wasn't supposed to run for president.
He wasn't supposed to win anything.
He wasn't supposed to win. I mean, you had Republicans, establishment Republicans, didn't like him. I think establishment Republicans wanted Jeb Bush or somebody like that.
Right.
That's who they wanted.
Someone who plays the game.
Donald Trump wins, and this all fits together, folks. The Obama DOJ turned against Donald Trump, and they tried to discredit him.
Well, deep state.
The deep state did.
Republicans and Democrats, but
they were out to
cut off. It's clear now they were out, and some people may still yet get in trouble for this legally, but they were out to cut President Trump off at the knees.
Yeah, we're talking about different instruments, but the same orchestra.
Yeah, good way of putting it.
That's where we are.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano and Fred Jackson. I want to get back to this police, what's going on with the police across the country for just a moment. because you were mentioning some statistics that are now being reported about police retiring early.
Mm-hmm.
Is retiring early the way to?
Retiring early in Seattle, 35.
35.
And just our newscast a moment ago, there's now 14 police officers in Minneapolis that are looking to get out.
They may not have to defund them after all. They may just not have a department to fund.
Well, remember, Minneapolis late Friday confirmed their city council again. It's not about defunding in Minneapolis. It's about disbanding the police department. That's what's going on in Minneapolis.
What would happen practically if you had I know these people haven't thought this through, but, if you just had anything happen. So you have a car accident, two mm-hmm. cars collide, you know, you usually have a police is there to, referee, find out what happened, call the wrecker, clear the road, traffic stops.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like complete insanity.
Well, let me just say, we were talking about this too. We get a lot of talking done, folks, on when we're on break. I've studied just because I was a political science major before I became a Christian and then felt led into the ministry and went to Bible college. So I studied a lot about revolutions. I was just always very interested in it. What happens with revolutions almost across the board is that you have groups that work together because they're united in what they hate. So the French Revolution especially, they hated the monarchy. We're united. We want to get rid of that. Then when you succeed in that, guess what? Now you get to decide what you're going to replace it with. And nobody has a good idea what they're going to do until they kill the king. And then they usually start to fight, these revolutionaries. And so what I think is happening is this is a revolutionary fervor. I believe it is Marxist at its core. All they know is they hate the establishment. They hate the political system. They hate the Constitution. They hate the police because the police enforce the law. We hate the police. We're getting rid of them. They don't know what they're going to do after that.
No.
They haven't even been able to decide on what they're going to call that six-block monstrosity they got in Seattle. First they called it CHAZ. I forget what it stands for. Then they said, no, now we're going to call it CHOP. Okay? So that's what I'm saying. Revolutions are organic, and they have all these moving parts. And that's why usually the first revolutionaries, Stephen McDowell was talking about last segment, the original revolutionaries usually wind up getting trampled underfoot of the next wave of the revolution because there are revolutionaries that go, oh, you took power. We don't like what you're doing. Guess what? You're under the guillotine next. So I don't think they have a clue what they want to do. They just know they want revolution, and the cops are on the chopping block. They'll decide what to do after they get rid of them.
Okay. Go ahead.
We need real leadership. You know, you mentioned about Seattle. So you've got this six-block area in downtown Seattle that's controlled by these kids right now because the mayor of Seattle let them do it.
Yeah.
And it is letting them do it. It continues.
It's letting them do it. Mike Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas, was on Fox and Friends this morning, kind of asked what he would do if faced in this situation. It's cut number 5.
It's going to last as long as they're willing for it to last. Why don't they turn off the electricity, the water, the gas, and jam all of the communication signals coming in and out of there? When these people can't go on social media, when they can't call in for things by way of their iPhones, things come to a grind pretty quick when no supplies can come in and out. And what the police and the mayor and the governor ought to do, if they had any brains at all, they would make it so that people who want to get out of there would be allowed to get out. But they're not allowed to, and these people have taken over. This is a hostage situation. And I don't understand why they somehow think that it's the summer of love. No, this is a summer of crime.
Yeah, and what he's saying is that the politicians there are facilitating this. Contrast that with the decision made in Nashville, Tennessee, and Asheville, North Carolina. There were same kinds of plans by rebels in those towns. They shut them down right away. Those politicians made the decision, no, we're not turning any part of our city over to you guys.
Because once you allow them to get rooted, then it's a violent confrontation to get them out.
Yes. And you just don't allow it.
I hope I know there may be disagreement among our listeners on this point, but I just hope President Trump stays out of this.
Are you talking about like Seattle?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Huh?
You don't want to own this mess.
No, no. And you know, I also don't want to see, I'd like to see the ideas of the secular progressives come to their logical conclusion, if a conclusion is to be had. So if the people of Seattle and the people of the state of Washington are good with people carving out a six-block area to have their own country, go for it. Now, I know some people, the argument could be made, well, that's insurrection inside of the United States. That makes it the business of the president. Well, yeah, but I want to see what happens in the end here with this, when this, because their demands for after they've seceded now in Seattle, their demands are mayor to resign and they defund the police force, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's two of them. Then they got other demands that they're asking, whoever the leaders are there,
right,
inside the Wild Wild West. But the police chief, African-American woman there in Seattle, who I had admired up to this point, now she's groveling before the before the people there in the shop. What do you call this place?
CHOP. What does that stand for?
CHOP stands for Capitol Hill Organized Protest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyway, I do think we're going to see real problems with policing now across the country, because what you're going to get with when veterans veteran police officers who have a lot of experience are retiring and are resigning, and who can blame them?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to be left with new recruits, right, who are inexperienced,
mm-hmm,
who are maybe underqualified,
mm-hmm,
but you have to take them because you need the man force, right? Mm-hmm. Then that's going to lead to worse problems, right?
Yep.
I mean, does that stand to reason?
Of course.
So I think Greg Gutfeld was probably right a couple of weeks ago when I heard him say the day of big cities is over.
Yeah.
Because you're going to see massive exodus from big cities. They won't be so big anymore in terms of their population bases or their tax base.
You know, right. It's interesting when the left starts to question these radicals. Camerota, anchor for CNN, yeah, asked the president of the Minneapolis City Council, all right, you want to get rid of the police department? Somebody calls 911. What happens then?
If someone's
breaking into my house.
Yeah, I call 911. What happens then? The answer from Benson, I think her name is, her last, Lisa, is it? Anyway, she says, well, calling 911 is white privilege.
That's yeah, coming from a place of white privilege.
Coming from a place of white
privilege. Because you own a home.
Yeah.
And then you're calling to get the police to protect that home. She called that white privilege.
Yeah.
Coming from a place of white privilege.
I wish we could just give these people their own country. Okay?
Yeah.
And then, because they won't have borders, they don't believe in borders, then you have anybody and everybody just coming in there, and then everybody has... Then you have to come up with money to pay for everything.
Yeah.
Because it's free health care for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
let's watch
right,
it play out.
Huh?
You got your dream. Now go live it.
It doesn't work.
Right.
No.
Secular progressivism doesn't work in practical terms.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So.
We're worked up, folks.
Other than this, everything's great, folks. Isn't it great for this
happy
Monday?
Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday. All right, have a good day. Trust in God.
Amen.
Amen. We'll see you back here tomorrow.